evening to the Remnant. Welcome. Welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and I am coming to you live from the Radio Ranch, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And oh, what a beautiful day it has been today at the Radio Ranch. It's almost been like May outside. Warm weather, not as warm as May, but a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. Sunny blue skies, not quite green grass, but it's been a beautiful day. I hope that your day, wherever you were, was as beautiful to you as our day here was to us. The sun was shining, the sky was blue. God, we praise you today, Lord. And let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer and do that very thing. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this beautiful day of life you gave us. This beautiful day you gave us today, Lord, with blue skies and the air you give us to breathe. Lord, many times we fail. Lord, we forget to thank you for the simple things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the hot coffee this morning. Thank you for your health and your protection all day long. For all of us, Lord, going to work, coming home, being at work, the travels, Lord, that went on, that are still going on today, we thank you. Lord, thank you that we live in this land, that we live in this new JERUSALEM, this new Zion, this new promised land with an eastern sea and a western sea, this land of unwalled villages. We thank you, Lord, that you have us in this land today and that you have called your remnant out of the darkness. Thank you that we are that remnant, Lord, that we have heard your Holy Spirit call. Lord, it is nothing of us. It is nothing that we have done, even in obedience to your word, Lord. That is just what we have done as unworthy slaves. Thank you for calling us out. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making a way for us to be redeemed, for us to be bought back, for us to have that hope. And thank you for offering that grace and mercy to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to that cross of Calvary, for being the once and for all sacrifice, the blood offering, the guilt offering, the curse for us, for a sinner like me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for going to that cross and dying, taking the beating that I deserve, for taking the shame that I deserve, and for saving me, Lord, for saving me from my sins and my sicknesses, for saving your people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you give us your word to read. Guide and direct us tonight, Lord. Direct me in your word to share your word with your people, to those that need to hear it. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you for our pastor, Lord, that went on before us, that labored, Lord, that was dedicated to you, that labored and that worked and that built this ministry up with your help, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and it is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us continue to build it. Help us as we continue on building on that foundation, that solid rock of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that, Lord. We do all this to your glory. It is nothing for us. We are nothing. I am nothing without you. But I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Help your people to remember that, Lord. Help us to remind them of that biblical concept. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you. Direct my thoughts, my words. I ask you, Holy Spirit. I say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. I ask for more of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come, to indwell within me, to be here on the broadcast. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and to be with your people tonight. Be with the people of God. Be with those that believe and obey the word of God. And indwell within them. Let your peace, let your joy come upon them as well, Lord. Your blessings. I pray this, Lord, to glorify you. And in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. And amen. Well, we'll have the phone lines open a little bit later. Last few weeks, we sometimes have not had the time or opportunity to do that, but we'll have them open in a little bit tonight. Want to start out tonight, after our prayer, of course, I have a baptism request. We have a person on the ministry in the Galveston, Texas area. Galveston, Seabrook, does that sound about right? I think it does. I think that's around Galveston. So if you would be able to help to baptize someone, and of course the biblical requirements for baptizing someone would be that the baptizer be a Christian man. We read in the Bible where men baptized. We don't see where women did. Doesn't take anything away from the women. We just do the best we can to be biblically accurate. And so if you are a properly baptized Christian man, living a Christian life, and baptized yourself for that you are baptized, not that you baptized yourself, but you are baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus, and you would answer the call. Here's the call. We read in the Bible that we are to pray for laborers because the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Well, we've prayed, and we pray now and ask for a baptizer in the Galveston area, Galveston, Seabrook. So if you could do that, you can contact our office during the day, during the week. The office number is 307-742-7582. If you give us a call tomorrow, we'll be in the office and could see if we could get this set up. We have a couple people in the area we're sending letters out to in that area to see if they can help, but you never know. There might be someone in that Texas area that says, hey, I could run down to Galveston and baptize a new Christian. I can baptize someone for the remission of sins. So if you could do that, give us a call. 307-742-7582. That's the number in the office to call during the day. So we encourage you to do that. If you'd rather send an email, our email here at Scriptures for America is preacher@sfaw.org. preacher@sfaw.org. A couple of current events caught my eye today. Wasn't planning on going to these current events, but they're current. I'm hoping Sunday morning to bring a scriptural review of the news on the Lake Oroville Lake, I think that's how it is pronounced, out in California, the dam out there that's been having the problems out there off Feather River, and have some, I thought they were pretty amazing pictures. I didn't take them, but people sent them in, and I found them. And so just thought we'd talk a little bit about that. Maybe we'll talk about that a little later tonight. But something that hit a little closer to home, I saw this today, got an email on it, and basically it is that out in Washington, there has been a florist. See if I've got her name here. It's a grandmother. I think it's, let me see if I have it here. Granny Stutzman, I think is the name, if I have that right. Yeah, I think that's what it was. Anyway, basically a Washington florist that did not want to, was asked to provide flowers for a faggot's homosexual wedding. Oh my goodness, did I say a dirty word? Does somebody need to send me a bar of soap and wash my mouth out with the politically correct soap? And when I read through this article, one thing that I highlighted in here is basically a Washington court has ruled against this grandmother, this great-grandmother who's a florist, who has been a florist for 30 years, that basically has found that Mrs. Stutzman's refusal to provide flowers because of the sexual orientation of these two so-called men, that it violated a an anti-discrimination and consumer protection law in Washington. And it was made mention several times in this article. And I just wanted to spend a minute on it. That basically, they say that under Washington law, she was wrong. And she's been fined $1,000 a day, and the court has ruled against her. But intolerance based on sexual orientation is unlawful in Washington. And it's not just Washington. In Colorado, we've had Bakers. We've heard of, and we've talked of Sweet Cakes by Melissa up in Oregon as well. I believe that's where that was, in Oregon. And then also a Colorado baker got in trouble, and it's gone all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court for this Colorado baker who has stood his ground and said, I will not bake a cake for this sinning, unlawful, ungodly act that these people are doing. I will not be a part of it. And then down in New Mexico also, there was a photographer that refused to take pictures for a same-sex couple getting married or engaged or some nonsense like that. And I bring this up because it's current. This is what we see in the schools. This is what we see in the newspapers. It has been on the front burner in this country, unfortunately, for too long. And it still is. I wanted to read in 1 Corinthians, because I think it applies. I think I have it over here. 1 Corinthians 6. Now, this is, of course, the New Testament. This is not the Old Testament. This is the New Testament under grace, under mercy. 1 Corinthians 6. I encourage you to write it down. If you are not familiar with what is included in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just jot it down. 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9. Because every Christian needs to know. You might not have it down verbatim, but you need to know what it says. We read, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So Christian, friend, brother, sister, I think we all agree on that. Most of us have read enough of the word, we should have, to be able to agree that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we know we have no righteousness of ourselves. That comes from Christ. That comes from the blood of Christ. It is His righteousness. It is because of what He did is the only righteousness we have. And it's not just because He did it, but it's because He went to the cross, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did. And He became the sacrifice for us. He became the blood sacrifice that fulfilled the law that allows us to be redeemed and to be bought back, to be brought back into a relationship with God. We have to have His righteousness, though, of course. We have to believe in Him. We have to believe that we've sinned. We know the Bible tells us all men have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we repent of that sin, and then we turn back to Him. We return to God. We are to do as Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Galatians 3:27 tells us about it, and other scriptures throughout. We read, I think it was last week or the week before, how all of those that were baptized, all those, the children of Israel, as they came through, that they were all baptized in the desert. And so there is quite a bit to baptism. Now, unfortunately, it's just not taught out there. Why? We've gone over that before. The seminaries have been infiltrated. The preachers, the pastors, the reverends, they are taught a certain way. And there is a spirit in the land. There is a spirit of blindness. And if you're reading through in Matthew, you read that. You see that in reading through the Bible reading plan just this week. We see it. If you read in Matthew 13, I think we'll get there. But Jesus himself said, you'll keep on hearing, but you won't understand. And this was Christ's teaching in parables that fulfilled this prophecy. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. The heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them, says Jesus Christ, says God Almighty. That's in Matthew 13. See, there's a spell in the land that the people don't see, that the people don't realize the need for baptism. Does that do away with it? No. Does that make it any less important or needed for salvation, or needed to be born again, or needed to be clothed with Christ? No. Just because some people don't believe it or haven't done it yet and still call themselves born again. They hear, but they don't understand. They see, but they don't perceive. Their heart has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they've closed their eyes. First Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? I think we all agree on that. Do not be deceived. And we've learned from our pastor. How do you know if you're deceived or not? Because if you're deceived, you don't know, because you're deceived. Well, we can pray, Lord, your word says, do not be deceived. Father, I do not want to be deceived. Forgive me for being deceived. Lord, forgive me if I've deceived in the past. If I have been deceived, Lord, open my eyes to it. Open my ears and my heart. If I've been deceived, Lord, I do not want to be deceived. Your word says, ask and it shall be given to you. Well, I ask, Lord. And if your remnant has been deceived, open their eyes. Let them pray the same prayer, Lord, that if they're deceived, that you let them know. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. And this is talking about those that will not inherit the kingdom. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And so those that practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what Washington law says. That Washington law says, the court affirmed that Washington State will remain a place where no one can be discriminated against because of who they love. Well, that sounds so sweet today. And the pictures that came with this were just, I'm so glad they didn't print. These two filthy faggots that will not inherit the kingdom of God if they continue on in their perversion, if they continue on in their sin. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now they are sinners. The ACLU has jumped in with them. And of course they've been suing not only Mrs. Stutzman, but I know the baker down in Denver and the photographer in New Mexico. Well, it may sound real sweet, and it may sound American, and it may sound constitutional by ruling that intolerance based on sexual orientation is unlawful, and Washington State will remain a place where no one can be discriminated against because of who they love. Well, that may sound good, but it's a bunch of bunk. It is just man. If you love God, that works. If you love God and you obey God, then you will not be unrighteous, and you will more than likely be able to inherit that kingdom. But don't be deceived. And we have so many that are deceived. Do not be deceived. Fornicators, that is sexual relations outside of marriage, fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you've done that in the past, repent. Repent. No, I'm not going to give you a sinner's prayer, but the Bible says you can repent. You can change. You can repent and stop doing it. Nor idolaters. Idolaters. Nor adulterers. Folks, if you're messing around with someone that's not your spouse, you need to stop. It's a sin. It's not pleasing to God. And if you practice that, you won't make it to heaven or the kingdom of God. You won't make it in. It's as simple as that. That's what the Bible tells us. Nor effeminate. You see so much of that in Hollywood today. And that's what is put out. What it means to be a man. Don't believe it, folks. And if you know someone that starts acting effeminate, and the footnote there is effeminate by perversion. Effeminate by perversion, by just things that aren't right. If you have someone that acts that way or says something, let them know that. Let them know that. Be a man. And you can do it out of love. You can say, brother, I love you. Don't talk like that. You shouldn't dress like that. That's not masculine. You are a man. God made you that way. You should be proud of that. And honor God for how he made you as a man. And don't be effeminate. Nor homosexuals. That is a perversion. It is an abomination before God. Nor thieves. Thou shalt not steal. If you've stolen, repent. Repay. Return to God. Nor the covetous. Be content with what you have. Nor drunkards. Nor drunkards. In all things moderation, the Bible teaches us. And I think it applies there as well. We are not to be drunkards. Nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And verse 11 says, such were some of you. Such were some of I. I've been guilty of some of those things. Not all of them, but some of them. And I have repented of them. And I have been forgiven of them. And if you are guilty of some of them, and you will repent, you too can be forgiven. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. See, you changed. We've changed, and that's what we do. Now, some people might still be changing, but don't be deceived. We read this from Washington, and oh, it's not just here overseas, the Church of England. Oh, the most holy blah, blah, blah. The Church of England's main legislative body has rejected that marriage can only be between a man and a woman. They make their choice, folks. As for me and my house, we will do our best to serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord God Almighty. Marriage is between a man and a woman. It is instituted by God. It's as simple as that. Doesn't matter what the Church of England says. Doesn't matter what Washington State says. So folks, get ready. Get ready for fiery trials if you're going to be a Christian. If you think because of the recent election that everything is just all of a sudden going to be peachy keen and no problems and no trials, well, you got another thing coming. So just be ready. Just be ready. One of the ways you can be ready is to read your Bible. It's one of the ways you draw nearer to God. It's one of the ways he draws nearer to you. He reveals things. If you've read it before, that's fine. Good. Read it again. We have the Bible reading plan. We mailed it out. The February Bible reading plan is up at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. If you don't have internet and you would like one mailed to you, we've been mailing them out to the prisoners that are on our prison ministry and to others that might be new. to this ministry. We'd be glad to mail you one. The Bible reading plan. It's broken up this year into categories. This week we're reading the Gospels. We started in Matthew on Sunday, and I hope, I pray you have been reading through. My normal Bible, I have a reference Bible, and I like it. I enjoy it. It is a great help. It's not a red letter Bible. I've been reading the Bible, especially Matthew. I've enjoyed it this week with my wife in the morning. And been reading a red letter Bible. Oh, sometimes you just read those words of Christ and they just jump off the page at times, it seems like. I encourage you, if you're not reading, go back, at least go back and read Matthew. Start in Matthew 1, that was the start of the Bible reading plan this week. Today, Matthew 11 through 13, I read that earlier, and one thing that jumped out at me is in Matthew 11, I thought I'd share it tonight, talking about in Matthew 11 from verses 20 to 24, talking about the unrepenting cities. Now, Jeremiah 29:7 tells us that we are to seek the welfare of the city where the Lord has sent us into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. And so we are told to seek the welfare of the city that we're in. I kind of take that as a command to pray for the city's leaders, to be involved as much as we can, to still be Christian, not to compromise our Christian ethics, but to be involved, to seek the welfare of the city where we're at, that it'll be well for us. And we can pray. We can pray for our city leaders, our county leaders, our state leaders, our national leaders, and we should. If you haven't been, you should. It's okay to do that. The Bible tells us to do that. Well, here in Matthew 11, Jesus is denouncing. He's coming against. Let's read this. Matthew 11, we'll read from verse 20 to 24, and maybe we'll have a chance to talk about that. Matthew 11, starting in verse 20. Then he, Jesus, began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent. They did not repent. His miracles were works of power that were done. Verse 21, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Now remember, Tyre and Sidon were not Christian cities, you might say. They were settlements, they were towns that were along the lines of Nineveh that were ungodly. Nevertheless, I say to you, it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades. For if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Now that's pretty harsh. That's pretty harsh to these cities. And we know that Jesus teaches in parables. And when I read through this today, I got to thinking, what if this cities, could it also apply just to people, to individual people? That's what cities are made up of. Cities are made up of the people that live there. So what if it was this? What if it said that Jesus began to denounce the people that saw his miracles because they did not repent? Would that apply? I'm not trying to change the scriptures, God forbid, but it seems that would work. It seems that that would work, that that would apply. because they did not repent. And of course, it's repent or perish. Repent or die. Repent or you will not enter into the kingdom. Repent or you won't make it to heaven. Repent or you will spend eternity apart from Christ. How about that? And that's what he's saying to these cities. And I think that it certainly would apply to the people. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles had occurred in these other places, they would have repented long ago. Well, how about this? How about if the miracles which occurred in you would have occurred to them? If the things that God blessed you with, if he would have blessed these other people that maybe haven't repented yet, they would have. I think that applies to understanding the Anglo-Israel truth. If God has given us a truth in that, in knowing who we are. Now, it's evident that he hasn't given it to everyone. He hasn't given it to everyone. And even to some of those that he has given it to, they haven't believed. Well, why not? Well, we read earlier. We read here in Matthew 13. You will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. See, that still applies today. There are those out there that love the Lord. This was, you got to remember, this prophecy of Isaiah, that wasn't given to the Chinese. And the prophecy in Isaiah wasn't meant for the Zulus. It was meant for the house of Israel. It was meant for the house of Judah. It was meant for us. For those of ours that came before us. And it's meant for us today. You'll keep on hearing, but you will not understand. And when I saw this about these unrepenting cities, if the miracles had occurred to them, which occurred to you, they would have repented and changed. Well, it's different. It's been given to us. And these truths that are given to us, well, we are to bear fruit with them. There seems to be a little controversy around regarding baptism, regarding fellowshipping with those that aren't baptized. If you read through in Matthew, and hopefully you are, you see, if you read Matthew 9 from yesterday's reading, Matthew 9 starting in verse 10, then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners? Why is he hanging out with those people that aren't like us? Why is Jesus hanging out with people that aren't in church three times a week, that don't wear the tassels the right length on their, and don't have just everything just right? Why is he doing that?" Verse 12, but when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice." And that word compassion is footnoted as mercy. Go and learn what this means, because the Pharisees that were saying this, they did not know what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And so if we are fellowshipping and talking and trying to teach those that haven't been baptized yet, that might not have an understanding of baptism, that are like Matthew 13, that they have heard but they don't understand, and they've seen but they don't perceive yet. The prophecy in Isaiah was that eventually they would understand with their heart and return, and he would heal them. Is it a sin to do our best to share the blessings that have been given to us with these people? No, it's what we are to do. It's what we are to do. remnant, let us not be. I pray that I am not, and I pray that you are not, as these unrepenting cities that had the miracles performed in them and they didn't believe. They didn't believe. When you read through the Pharisees, the Sadducees, oh, they were asking, it's in Matthew 12, verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Show us a sign. Show us an attesting miracle." They had seen signs. They had seen attesting miracles. They had heard of them. They had heard of people raised from the dead. They had heard and seen hands healed, the lame walking, the blind given sight. They had heard and seen demoniacs cast out. They had heard and seen, as it says in Matthew 11, the blind receiving sight, the lame walking, the lepers cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, the paralytics are forgiven their sins, the lepers are cleansed. They saw that. And their biggest response was, he healed on the Sabbath, so he must be of the devil. Let us not be as unrepentant as those Pharisees were. And in Matthew 12, again, we read what we read back in Matthew 9. Matthew 12, when Jesus broke the law, did you get that? When Jesus broke the law of God, oh yeah, he broke it clean. Broke it right in half, willfully. Let's read it, Matthew 12. That's part of reading this Bible, is it comes back and comes to light. It is the living word for us. Matthew 12, at that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on a Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions, how he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priest alone? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath or profane the Sabbath and are innocent?" They thought they understood the word. Jesus was explaining better, explaining further, and truthful, giving them a better understanding of the word, of the Sabbath, of the law. In verse 6, "But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here." And of course, that was Christ. Verse 7, "But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent." The innocent. Wait a minute now. Jesus and his disciples, they were picking the heads of grain, which was unlawful to do on the Sabbath. David, way back, David and his men, or David was hungry and he came and ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him. Now, David wasn't cursed for that. David was blessed for that, but it wasn't lawful for him to do. It wasn't lawful for the apostles to do this, the disciples. But Jesus had a higher law. He was and is a higher law. And he said, "If you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent." Lord Jesus, I do not want to condemn the innocent. I want to understand what compassion. I desire the compassion that you have, Lord Jesus, because your word says it. And I want to know what it means when you, Lord Jesus, desire compassion over a sacrifice. I desire that, Lord. I want to know what that is, and I want to live my life that way. I want to think that way. I don't want to be like James and John, who at one time did not know what spirit they were of, according to the words of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're listening out there, I hope you have that same desire. We see it here in red letters in Matthew. It's Matthew 9, verse 12. When Jesus heard this, he said, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. How about this? It's not those who are already baptized that need to hear about Acts 2:38, but those that aren't. And we're sure doing that. We're not backing off baptism. We're sure putting that out to those that need to hear it, that may not understand it yet. But go and learn what this means. Jesus desires compassion and not a sacrifice. He says, "For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And in Matthew 12, he says it again, "But if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent." Folks, let's not condemn the innocent. Let's pray to God. Let's pray to the Holy Spirit. Let's read through the Word. Let's search. Let's prove ourselves worthy of being called Christians. And looking in the Word and understanding when Christ says, "I desire compassion and not a sacrifice," what that means. And then let's live our life that way. Matthew 12, verse 30 says, "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters." And of course, that was part of the rebuke to the Pharisees, claiming that Christ was casting out demons by the head demon. Read that. I hope you read that there in Matthew 12. It's what it says. A demon-possessed man who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus, and Jesus healed him, so that the mute man spoke and saw. All the crowds were amazed. Oh, they were amazed. Would you be amazed if you saw that today? I would. If you saw a Lazarus that had been dead 3 or 4 days and you saw him raised out of the grave, would you be amazed? I would. I would. How about a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute? If you saw him healed, would you be amazed? Would you give glory to God, or would you say, "Oh, that's just of the devil"? Read it. It's in Matthew 12, 22. That story of the unrepenting cities that we read about in Matthew 11, 20 through 24. When I first read it, it struck a nerve and it kind of planted a seed. Then when I was reading in Matthew 12, under the desire for signs, and we read that, the scribes and the Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now that we, and when we just read that much, we understand. We read the story of Jonah, 3 days in the belly of the whale, of the great fish, of the sea monster. And we understand that Christ was 3 days in the earth, and then he arose. He overcame death and arose. He says if we follow him, that he will grant that to us as well. Not just believe, but if we obey. And we see that now. We see that. We see that the scribes and the Pharisees were given signs and they just didn't believe. But let's read on verse 41. "The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it," meaning this generation, "because they repented at the preaching of Jonah." Remember Nineveh? 40 days, Jonah said. Nineveh repented in sackcloth and ashes. And they were saved. They repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. We have the word of Christ. We have the word of God that says, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice. That is something greater than Jonah. It goes on, the queen of the south will rise up in this generation, with this generation at the judgment, and will condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Yes, something greater than Solomon is here. Something greater than Jonah is here. And it's called the Son of God. It's called the Word of God. The laws, statutes, and judgments, yes. Yes. Jesus Christ said, don't think I came to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. That law is the tutor that teaches us, that leads us to Christ. And he didn't do away with it. But just as he explained to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he explains it better. He gives us a better understanding of it. Does that mean we don't sacrifice anymore? Does that mean we don't do the things that we're supposed to do for him? No, that's not what it means. But he says he desires compassion and not a sacrifice. That's Matthew 9:13 and Matthew 12:7. I enjoyed reading that today. I hope you have. The last part of Matthew 13 here, we're wrapping up. The last part, the last verse there, verse 58 says, he, meaning Jesus, did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. And of course, that's when he went back to his hometown. And we get the saying, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. He did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. So if you don't believe, don't expect miracles. Don't expect works of power if you don't believe. I encourage you to read his word, to read the Bible. We've got a tool for you that helps, this Bible reading plan, just a chapter, two, three a day. It's what we are to be doing. We are to be reading his word. We are to be studying his word, at the very least reading it. At the very least, we are. We are. Well, my voice is just about gone. I thank you for joining tonight. If you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. We are on the internet, scripturesforamerica.org, and our email is preacher, P-R-E-A-C-H-E-R, preacher, at sfaw.org. Thank you for joining us, and may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless those of you that are his, bless you and keep you. May his face and countenance shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and grant you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.
Someday I know I will cross over. Cross over to the other side. Someday I know I'll be at home with Jesus, because my name is in the book of life. The book of life.
The book of life.
The book of life.
God's holy book of life.
Oh yes, my name is in the book of life.
My name is written in the book of life.
Someday I know,
I know
I'll be at home with Jesus, because my name is in the book of life. And when that book of life is open, he'll call my name and I'll be there. Oh yes, I know, I'll be right there with Jesus. Oh, what a good time we'll share. The book of life,
the book of life,
the book of life,
God's holy book of life.
Oh yes, my name is in the book of life.
My name is written in the book of life.
Someday I know I'll be at home with Jesus. Because my name is in the book of life. Gonna tell me all about the disciples. I'm gonna ask him all about his childhood. He's gonna tell me how much, just how much he really loves me. Oh, won't that be so good? It's the book of life,
the book of life,
the book of life,
God's holy book of life.
Yes, my name's in the book of life.
My name is written in the book of life.
Someday I know I'll be at home with Jesus. Because my name's in the book of life. Someday I know I'll be at home with Jesus. Because my name is in the book of life.